Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, I am here with a very special guest. Her name is Katie Wiseman.
Yeah.
Yep. And we met here at Cedarville, and you have this big passion for missions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we're talking about entrepreneurs and missions and how the two actually blend together.
Mm-hmm.
So let's learn a little bit about you. First of all, you are married.
Yes.
And give us your story about Cedarville and then mm-hmm. even how you got over to Bible Translators, Pioneer Bible Translators.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been married for 4 years to my husband. We're both Cedarville grads. And we have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and we're actually expecting our second in August. So that's
congrats.
A fun new thing. Yeah. We live on a 6-acre farm, not too far from here. We do the whole chickens, and we're hoping to do Christmas trees and pumpkins in the future.
Oh,
so we're living that life. But yeah, so I graduated with a linguistics degree, and I was on this trajectory and passion of Bible translation. And just through a variety of circumstances and experiences, God led me to be a sender, not a goer. And so I'm a mobilizer for Pioneer Bible Translators now, which means I get to spend the best hours of my day discipling students and young families who are just discerning God's call on their life and asking God what he might have them to do in the Great Commission. And it's truly the best job in the world, honestly.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we met. You reached out, was it during Missions Week?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Okay. And
yeah.
You just said, hey, I'm from Cedarville, and how can I really get connected to the business school?
Right.
Because
right.
sometimes the two don't seem like they should intersect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, I think Paul, the apostle,
right.
was an entrepreneur and was a missionary.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
tent maker.
Agree?
Right. Yeah, exactly. He definitely recognized, you know, that a lot of times access into difficult places and difficult communities require creative strategies. And
ooh,
so,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's yep. good. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's jump into a little bit more about pioneers. And,
yeah.
you know, we have this term that I had actually never heard of mm-hmm. until I came to Cedarville, but it's called BAM.
Yes.
BAM.
Yep.
Business as mission.
Yeah.
What in the world does that mean?
Yeah. So business as mission is exactly what it sounds like. It's just using for-profit businesses as instruments for global mission. You'll probably hear me use the term marketplace engagement interchangeably. That's often a term that we use at Pioneer Bible. But when you kind of zoom out, you talk about this a lot in your classes, where every good company has, or at least should have, a purpose. You know, where are
yeah.
we going and how are we getting there, right? And so our big vision is to see transformed lives through God's word in every language. There's over 1600 language groups that don't have any scripture. And our focus is the 900 of those that have no church and no Bible. And so, a lot of the places that we are aiming to go now, places in Asia and the Middle East, are just very difficult to access. And so we want to strategically position people to serve in these regions through an intentional approach of sustainable business.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So if I understand this correctly, some of your missionary mm-hmm. people will go over and, you know, get support here in
mm-hmm.
the States, and they may be like, quote, full-time Bible translation. Will some have jobs?
Yeah. So when it comes to this context of business as mission, and I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what that process of preparing and equipping will look like. But a lot of times when we find business leaders and entrepreneurs who have this business acumen, we want to send you over to create sustainable business, whether that's training others in these creative access regions to run their own businesses, or employing them in your business and promoting human flourishing in that way as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So how, you know, believe it or not, I think I told you this,
mm-hmm.
but right out of high school,
mm-hmm.
So this would have been 1995.
Okay.
Michelle's my age.
Yeah.
To 97, I went to what was called then New Tribes mm-hmm. Bible yep. Institute.
Yep.
They've renamed themselves Ethnos 360. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And missions was very different back then. Mm-hmm. I went to Papua New Guinea for a summer, and it's called Interface. It was like the legit, like you go in and start learning pidgin English yep. and you start doing Bible translation.
Yeah.
And you know what, Katie, I was in it long enough, 8 weeks, to realize I don't think this is for me. And sure. I felt really bad. Like yeah. I'm just being real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of pressure there about unreached people groups. And I felt like, oh my gosh, not a good Christian.
You know, when I'm recruiting interns for our summer internship program, and I actually spent a summer in Papua New Guinea myself.
Did you?
Yeah, that was a huge trajectory for me. But I tell interns, you know, God's going to use this experience in one of two ways. He's either going to give you clarity on what you want to do and what he's going to ask you to do with your life, or he's going to give you clarity on what he's not asking you to do. And so whether you have an incredible experience or a terrible experience, you're learning more about yourself and more about what your role is in the Great Commission. So experiences like that truly aren't wasted, as I'm sure at this point you can reflect and see that value.
And I didn't think it was bad,
right?
But I didn't, you know, all my other people, not all of them, but it felt like all the other people on the trip were like, wow, you know, this, I'm going to do this. This is my life. And, I don't know, like it just wasn't my thing.
Right.
But how can like an uber successful entrepreneur blend with missions? Like, yes, they can give money, mm-hmm. but could they actually start a foreign business overseas or something?
Absolutely.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, just kind of articulating a little bit about why even bother with that method. Many governments are resistant to religious workers. You can't just walk in the front door with, you know, a missionary visa anymore in a lot of these places. I mentioned Asia and the Middle East, for example. But they welcome businesses and entrepreneurs to contribute to their economies.
And that's not viewed as skepticism.
Exactly.
These days there's digital nomads that like are literally a thing.
Right. Exactly. And so we definitely want to be well equipped and well, not just in business acumen, but, you know, discipleship skills. But we want to be creative and still functioning with integrity there. But where I couldn't necessarily walk in the front door as a missionary, you know, you or any of your entrepreneurship students who have the necessary credentials and skills could very easily contribute to those economies and not just contribute monetarily, but really promote human flourishing in so many ways, addressing things like poverty, spiritual and physical, and just promoting the family and ethical business environments. Yeah. Agriculture and business is a huge intersection for us. We have a recruiter dedicated to just that combination.
Wow. That's amazing.
Lots of big things happening there.
So let's talk about the, by the way, you're the most planned person I've ever met. For a podcast.
I appreciate it.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of this biblical example.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just a few quick verses on stuff.
Sure. Yeah. As I was just thinking through, you know, this thought, because there's a lot of different mission methodologies that you can employ. And I truly don't believe there's one size fits all. Right. But when we look at the whole counsel of God's word, we do see, three key mandates that I think really support business's mission or marketplace engagement. And that's not even including Paul's life that you mentioned earlier. But the creation mandate, first and foremost, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it. God gave us a very clear command to innovate and create and to build into what he's given us. He is the creator, but he has given us so many things to use and to use to just promote our flourishing on this earth. But then the great commandment, loving God and loving others, Matthew 22, a lot of times there are some very real barriers to people understanding and believing in Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus is all we need theologically. We understand that. But a lot of times people have the baggage of trauma and poverty and just practical limitations of their environments. And so we want to be agents of hope in very practical ways, offering the hope of Jesus in those things.
That's a fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. And now let's get into this, you know, basically practical stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So some of the practical stuff. People may be watching this. They may be in grad school. They yeah. might be doing a major. What would you say?
Right. So I mentioned, you know, these creative access countries, you can't just walk in with a missionary visa, right? And a lot of them will have actually very strict requirements regarding your education and your experience to even acquire a visa at all. Mm. Sometimes it's 2 years of experience plus a master's degree or some combination thereof. And so it's really important for us to fully equip our teammates to be able to do that. And so we've kind of adopted an apprenticeship model. So once you've, you know, really embraced your desire to use your business acumen and your passion in this way overseas, we will partner you with a career coach who can help you gain perspective on how marketplace engagement can work,
wow.
where your skills and passions meet the needs in the world. Mm. And that's a perfect Venn diagram. That's your ministry sweet spot, right? And so what I think is really exciting about this is that it's limitless, honestly. It's got limitless opportunities and ways for you to serve in that way.
Mm.
So then through that partnership, you'll gain strategic business and disciple making experience. And that's important. We don't want, we want a balanced understanding of both your business and discipleship, because you're not just there to make a buck. You're there to make disciples. And so we want to equip you with that as well.
What do you think? Well, first of all, what year did you graduate?
2019.
Yeah. So just before all the COVID
yes,
stuff.
Yes. Yes.
What did Cedarville bring for you? Like, I know everyone mm-hmm. has different experiences.
Sure.
Some people are kind of like spiritually dead.
Yeah.
And then, like, I interviewed a guy in his senior year. He became on fire. Mm-hmm. Like, how was your experience at Cedarville? How'd you hear about it? And how did it prepare and equip you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard about Cedarville through a friend. And it was at the time one of only 3 or 4 Christian universities that even offered a linguistics program that was within reasonable driving distance of my hometown.
So you're like, I'm doing linguistics.
Yeah. I came in very clear that Bible translation was my path.
How did you find that first?
I don't really know. I was really good at languages and writing in high school, and a Google search showed me where ministry and language could intersect very practically.
Wow.
So
I was not good at language. Oh
yeah.
my gosh.
No, I really loved it. I still do. A lot of us at Pioneer Bible are language nerds ourselves.
Okay.
So it's really fun. So yeah, I think Cedarville really equipped me in a lot of key ways. I was exposed to different ways of thinking than I had grown up. And even beyond Cedarville continued to, you know, I've continued to grow as we ought to.
Yeah.
Cedarville is not the end of the line. In a lot of ways, it's the beginning for us as we're becoming adults and getting jobs in the real world where our faith is not spoon fed to us through daily chapel and through Bible classes.
Yeah.
And I've heard that a lot among my friends as well. It's like, you have to really, you have to build those habits for yourself in order to stand on your feet when you leave. The local church played a huge part in that. And being part of a local church while in college, I think was the game changer, actually.
What church did you go to?
I attended Southgate Baptist right up the road for most of that time.
So that's right in town?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then linguistic classes.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an ignorant question, but like, were they, is it its own school? Is it under missions? Is it under?
It's in the English department.
English.
But a lot of every linguistics student can select a concentration. And so I chose a missions emphasis. I know a lot of students that have chosen a biblical languages emphasis because to do Bible translation, you need applied linguistics and translation theory and other missiological coursework beyond undergrad. And so I think it does set you up very well. Students that graduate from Cedarville with a linguistics degree and the Bible minor actually have met many of the requirements that we have as an organization.
Wow.
In your training.
So you actually have requirements.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what else did Cedar Hill do besides teaching you the, like, did it give you connections? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think I recognized the value of those connections until this past year when I began recruiting, actually. Just even being a graduate gave me an open door in ways that other mobilizers at other organizations may just naturally struggle, because mobilization is all about relationship.
Interesting.
And so just the connection, the fact that my proximity is huge, the fact that I still live in the area. But yeah, and I mean, every student will say this, friendships as well. I don't have a plethora of friendships, but the ones that I have from my college days are salt of the earth, life on life. We've been through a lot of really hard adult challenges in the past, 5 years.
Wow.
And it's just a really beautiful thing.
Just a few more minutes here, sure. But where can people find out if someone's watching this and they say, mm-hmm. Wow, I like travel.
Yeah.
I like culture. Yeah. I like languages. I like to spread the gospel, and mm-hmm. I like business. What would they
do? Yeah. So I think the best way would to just be reach out to you, and you can pass along my contact info, or mm-hmm. we can throw my info in the show notes here.
Yeah.
That way you can just reach out to me. I'm on campus 2 or 3 days a week, meeting with students and speaking in classrooms anyway. And so I would love to buy you a cup of coffee and mm-hmm. Just hear your heart, your passion, and see again where it is your passion and the need in the world meet. And how can we get you plugged into the Great Commission? So
you know what, too. I think there's going to be people outside Cedarville who mm-hmm. see this.
Yeah.
So what is the Pioneer's website?
Yeah, it's pioneerbible.org.
Pioneer
Bible.
Singular.
Yep. Pioneerbible.org.
Bible.org.
Yeah.
And what will they find? In fact, I'm going to go there. I like to go there for
sure.
I know some people are only listening to audio and some are listening to
sure
the visual, but what do they find when they're there?
Yeah. So you'll find, initially, some of the basic statistics and information that you just may not readily know. Like, I mentioned over 1600 language groups without scripture. It's truly beautiful, actually, when I share that statistic with folks who have never heard that, to kind of watch their face and their heart sink a little bit. Mm. I think that's a really good feeling. I think that's a really good thing that God delights in seeing us be moved by things like that.
Wow.
You'll also see prayer plastered all over our website. That's our primary strategy. And when I say that, I am absolutely serious. We pray as an organization 5 days a week. Practically.
Wow.
Every meeting is begun with prayer. We're part of separate prayer groups. We practice prayer together. It is a core value of our organization that we've actually seen exponential growth because of that. So, yeah, you'll see prayer just plastered everywhere. And so if you're a praying person, and we all should be, you can get connected immediately by joining us in that.
That's pretty impressive, too, that you're the top 2% of charities mm-hmm. in terms of transparency.
Yep, absolutely.
That's pretty.
Yeah,
pretty,
it's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sounds like people can go here. Mm-hmm. Sounds like people can reach out to you as well.
Yeah.
If they're on campus. Mm-hmm. And why? I don't know. I'm going to address the elephant in the room.
Sure.
You don't need to go into it if you don't want
to.
No,
it's okay.
But like if someone says, come on, Katie, how come you believe in this so much, why aren't you overseas?
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good question. So I mentioned earlier just a variety of life circumstances. Uh-huh. Those are part of it. And I'm really open about that with people.
Like health stuff or something?
Yeah. Just my husband had an accident in high school that would make it probably challenging for him to live in a lot of these unreached environments. I lost my mom in 2020, and that kind of started a chain reaction of a lot of things for me personally that I needed to mature through and work through.
Totally.
And now that I'm on this side of it, I was very literally called by the director of recruitment to do this role. I'm half mobilizer, half administrator.
And so
I definitely don't believe that the door is closed on future roles that might involve translation or literacy or disciple making in that way. But in this season specifically, Romans 10, 14 through 15 has been a huge anchor for me, where Paul's just explaining, like, how can they believe in the one that they haven't heard about, and how can they hear if no one preaches, and how can they preach if no one sends them? And I am very convinced that being a sender, whether that's praying or mobilizing or giving, is equally as valuable as being willing to go.
I'd say even more, maybe.
Yeah. And so God did a lot of work in my heart about 4 years ago, where I had to come to terms with being willing to go is just as vital as being willing to stay. And so here I am, and we'll see what God does in the future.
All right, folks, check it out. Just another example of how you really need to have the e-mind even in mission. So, Katie, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Kerry Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.